Hello and welcome. Scare track. Scare Track Podcast.
Welcome to the Scare Track Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
So this is where our adventure begins.
Oh my God!
I'm scared myself!
Faye Monroe is screaming. Spoiler alert, freaking awesome.
The
quality of the set was amazing.
Oh, I don't like it.
Hello and welcome to the Scare Track Podcast. My name is Mikey and today's episode is an interview episode with Liam and Christopher of Off Space Productions discussing their brand new attraction coming this summer. It's Death Cell Magenta, which is a prequel to their original Death Cell back in 2018 now. So very excited to speak to the R Space team in our feature section of today's episode. But before we get into that, welcome back. A huge, huge thank you for joining us. It's exciting to be back in the studio and recording episodes ready for 2024 and counting down to Halloween this year. It's still a little bit away, but we are counting down the days, the weeks, the months, and it will soon be here. But yeah, we have had a little bit of a quieter closed season. Of course, it's closed season for theme parks, so all the coaster track stuff sort of goes on hold while it's closed season. And of course, Halloween ended too. We managed to get a Christmas scare in, which we like to do every year, so that's fantastic. But now it's back ready to roll for 2024. And what a better way than to start it off with an interview episode about a brand new attraction coming this summer. We don't even have to wait till Halloween for it, guys. It's coming this summer in August. So, without any further ado, let's take you to the feature section of today's episode.
You're listening to Scare Track.
So, welcome back to the Scare Track Podcast, and like I said in the intro, I am here with Liam and Christopher from R Space Productions. Guys, how's it going?
Yeah, it's going really, really good. Glad to be here and chatting about something very exciting.
Very excited to be here, yeah. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. No, it's an absolute pleasure to have you guys on. I remember, you know, a handful of years ago when I was chatting to Steph about the first Death Cell. So it's exciting to see that we've got brand new attraction Magenta coming up later this year. But we'll move on to that in just a little bit. First up, did you guys want to let us know what your roles within R Space are? And if anyone's sort of new to the channel, new to the podcast and haven't heard our previous R Space Productions episodes, let us know a little bit about the company and how it's grown to a bigger company that's going to be presenting Magenta later this year.
So my name is Liam. I'm the head of marketing and sales at R Space Productions. The company we've been running now since 2018. Just a little bit of background about us. We're a immersive production company that specialise in creating unique and innovative productions. We also offer a range of creative services to clients that want to work with us. So, previously we've designed, some other attractions. We've worked on scripts and storytelling. We do operations-based work, casting, creative, all of those sorts of bits and bobs. And then we also, like I said, we do the productions and we also run a range of immersive workshop experiences. So essentially they're like skills building workshops where instead of just coming in and sitting in a room learning a skill, we'll actually immerse you in the environment itself and create an experience around that. So we did one as an example last year. It was a scare acting workshop, but instead of just, you know, running around a room and learning how to scare, you were entering what we call the Terraverse, meeting lots of different entities that break out. You would, you know, learn how to replicate what they were doing, again, in an immersive environment with lights, audio, sounds. So, you know, we're doing lots of really unique things as a company, and I think since 2018 we've really grown, and yeah, obviously we're here obviously to talk about our next production, Death Cell Magenta, which is later this year. So yeah, we've got lots of other exciting stuff in the pipeline, but that's a nice little roundup there. I'll hand over to Christopher.
Yeah, so my name's Christopher. I'm head of experience, research and development for R Space Productions, and I'm the writer and experience director for Death Cell Magenta. And yeah, like Liam said, we started off as a group of actors. We were scare actors who got together under the guidance and leadership of Steph Ricketts, who is the founder of R Space Productions, and we just wanted to make our own horror events, because horror is in our blood. And so I've been with the company since its inception, and really, really love the team and love working with everybody in it and having that space to be as creative as possible.
Well, that's something I've just picked up on there as well, Christopher, actually. You, first up, both of you, amazing introductions, I thank you. But yeah, the fact that you said that you wanted to just go off and do your own, you know, it's awesome that a group of friends, a group of people who love the industry and love it, wanted to go and do something themselves. Does that basically just mean that you can raise the bar and, you know, you can think outside that box a little bit more, you can push yourselves further because you haven't got, a certain glass ceiling as such? You're literally, your ideas can be as big as you want them to be now, I guess.
Honestly, yes. That's been one of the, like, funnest and most, like, just most comfortable things about working with R Space Productions. Like, it seems like no idea is too big or too crazy. Like, we always start with, like, anything's on the table. And we're very much like to look at how can we do these things rather than, oh, that might not work or that might not work. Like, so, you know, I work quite closely with Jim, who's the head of creative of R Space Productions. And really, like, some of the stuff we'll be talking about, like, I'll suggest an idea, and like, and I know in my head it sounds kind of bombastic or ambitious, but he has yet to sort of say like no or anything close to that, and that's just really nice. It's really freeing, so like I don't feel like I always have to like hold back, and that's as an artist is just like the best place to be, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Liam, is it a similar sort of thing for you as well in the role that you play with R Space?
Yeah. Well, I guess, I mean, we'd never say never in terms of, you know, working with IPs maybe in the future, who knows. But to be honest, I think our natural passion is for creating our own experiences. And like Christopher says, like, you know, having that total freedom to just come up with whatever we want to come up with and going, yeah, that sounds pretty good, actually. Let's make it work. And I similarly have never once had Jim say no to ideas that I've gone to him for when it comes to, you know, marketing things and ideas for how we can, you know, tell our stories to people. So, you know, I guess that's a good thing. He hasn't said no yet.
Maybe that should be your next challenge. See who can get him to say no first.
Oh, we're trying.
Maybe give just such an absolutely bizarre out of the box idea and see who can get a no first.
Yeah, I think we're really going to go crazy.
Yeah, I think what really helps is we all come from, although we have, you know, the shared joy and love for horror and scare acting and essentially creating these sorts of experiences, we all come from very different backgrounds, and in terms of what we do outside of our space as well, I think allows us even more creative freedom. Because, for example, I work a 9-to-5 Monday to Friday job, which you know, isn't as exciting as marketing a brand new experience and, you know, coming up with lots of creative ideas and being able to do something you know, completely outside of the mundane corporate world, to put it bluntly. So I think that allows us to think bigger because we're so much more excited to, you know, get involved in this, that it allows us to really think outside the box and just go a bit crazy with it. And you know, there probably will come a time where we have to tone it down slightly, but one of our big sort of values as a company is that we always want to be taking what we do to the next level. So it's coming up with these ideas and then going like, what one thing can we do or change that's going to just take it up a notch? And we almost, you know, do that with how we think and how we work as a team as well. So yeah, I think the possibilities are endless with our minds and, you know, where we can hopefully go to in the future.
Absolutely, definitely. And in the not so distant future is Death Cell Magenta. So obviously the details of this came out on the 18th of March, talking about the brand new theatrically cinematic immersive horror escape experience. But let's start with sort of, you know, the original Death Cell. And I'm guessing it's sort of like it's basically that on speed, I'm guessing, right? It's like it's the similar sort of thing, but you've just upped it years later.
Yeah, so it's essentially, we're still in the Death Cell universe, but this is an origin story, an origin piece to that world. Mm. Like, the world of Death Cell is like it's huge, and there's lots of sort of characters that make up the world. And those are little side stories. And Magenta, she was in the original, but in a very sort of small piece of it. Mm-hmm. But she her influence on the Death Cell ethos is massive. Like, she's like kind of been this character in the shadows, pulling the strings from behind the scenes.
Right.
And this was a great way to like not only bring back the world of Death Cell, but tell it. Like, start from the beginning, yeah, and lead people in. So people that don't necessarily know what Death Cell is, it's a great gateway into that universe. Mm-hmm. As well as the people who love Death Cell and really engage with that world, to connect with it in a way that they haven't seen before.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So it's perfect for both types of markets then, isn't it? It's people absolutely that have never heard of it before and thinking it's brand new, and people that are already sort of know the lore of it. Over the years of Death Cell, as you mentioned, it's sort of like its own entity and its own universe is so big in itself. Do you find that like, I'm a bit of a super fan for Traumatica in Europa Park, for example, so some people can go there and not have a clue what's going on but still enjoy it anyway, but I can be a mega nerd and find every single Easter egg and every little, you know, every little thing that might be hiding. Do you find that it's a similar sort of thing with Death Cell and the visitors that you guys get, that people can be mega, mega deep into it and love it, but people that aren't quite sure of the scenario will also enjoy the experience too?
That's exactly what we're going for. And the idea is to, we're putting enough world building and enough lore within the show that there's going to be plenty there for people that know already what Death Cell is from our 2018 experience. Mm-hmm. And like for newcomers as well. And we want to give people that ability to really dive into the story as much as possible, and, you know, kind of forge their own journey through it as well.
Yeah.
And we'll make sure that, you know, the world is rich enough for that to be there to satiate, you know, as you said, like the super fans.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we all know people go nuts about this kind of thing, especially if it's a really interesting concept, especially in the world of horror. People, yes, want to know and digest and theory craft, and we're all into that. And we want to cater for that in the experience.
I think, you know, back when we did this in 2018, we were obviously, it was the first big thing we'd all done outside of, you know, working for other companies and doing it. And I still find it mad to this day how many people know what Death Cell is,
yeah,
and, you know, relate it to our space, and also know, like, some of the ins and outs, know some of the characters, know some of the, you know, the premise of what it is and why it exists, which again, I just find it crazy because we, back then, we didn't really market it hard. We didn't really give much away. And most of that's down to the fact that we didn't really know how to do that.
Yeah.
Or we didn't necessarily have the tools available to do that. So, you know, what are we now, like about five, six years down the line since doing that one. And obviously we've all gone away, we've learned new things, we've developed, had a pandemic. But I mean, in some ways the pandemic helped because it allowed us all to, you know, learn new skills and focus on new things, 100%. Which has got us to where we are now.
Yeah.
So you know, I think with all of that in mind and almost what Christopher's saying, like we have such a huge opportunity now to get people more invested into the world through you know, lots of different areas, whether that's, you know, once you've booked a ticket and how we feed some of that information to you leading up to the experience, or whether you're just following us on Instagram or Facebook and following along with what's being posted and, you know, learning about some of the characters that way. The possibilities, again, are really endless with this sort of stuff. And I think ultimately we're just going to go as hard as we can because we want people to enjoy learning about it outside of just booking a ticket and then not thinking about it until the day of.
Yes.
We want you to be, you know, really invested in the world at every possible touch point that we can think of.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and just add on to that as well. Like, I think we are very much viewing like Death Cell as if it's like this, like as if it's like this IP with a fan base, and that's why we've approached it with this experience, like and developed an origin story to a show that happens like 2018. So we are treating it as if it is. It's almost like it's like a bit of like a franchise because we are kind of thinking on that level of like, this world is so rich.
Mm.
There's so many stories and possibilities to go with it. That's one of the angles we're looking at it through.
I think what's really interesting as well is when we first had this idea to do this production. So I think it's, you know, we wanted to do a new incarnation of Death Cell for a long time. Mm. We were, I think many people know, or if you didn't know, we were literally a week away from setting tickets on sale for a production, like a large scale production of Death Cell back in 2020.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously COVID came along, shut that down, went on a lot longer than expected. So, you know, that kind of got canned, but in the background, we were very much like, we need to do this. We want to do this. And the people want us to do this.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think what's funny about this production is when we first started thinking about it, probably only, you know, 6 months ago, it wasn't actually going to be as big as it is now. We initially were just going to do, like, honestly, a tiny pop-up that was maybe going to be like one room, maybe two rooms, who knows, and just run it for like 2-3 days, see what happens. But it's kind of just spiraled a bit from there, and we've gone, actually, you know what, we've got all these ideas, we've got the ability to do something more. And it almost comes back to that piece earlier I was saying about, you know, taking it to the next level, and we all sort of just went, do you know what, if we're gonna do it, let's do it and do it right.
Yeah.
So that's how we've now ended up doing, you know, pretty much a full-scale production as opposed to the initial idea of a tiny little pop-up that will just be in a couple of days. But yeah, here we are. So
yeah,
it's really exciting how it's developed.
It's a proper showcase of what we can do as our space productions, as well as what we can do with the world of Death Cell as well.
Yeah, so it's like the perfect mixture of both worlds, really, isn't it?
Yes,
definitely. So what was sort of like the process on, well, firstly, why was the original one going to be a pop-up? Was it more just to give a homage to the fact that we weren't able to do it in because of COVID, and we want to, you know, show our love for the original one, so we're just going to have a small pop-up thing? So, and then how did it sort of grow into this beast that it's become? And do you feel that's because the company is 5 years down the line now, and you've got, you know, you've all got the skills, you've got the talent, you've got the know-how of, like you said before, it's go hard or go home.
to be honest, and you know, we're very open and transparent about this kind of stuff. Initially, the pop-up was going to be aimed at, like Christopher put it, in terms of, you know, showcasing our skills, mm-hmm. showing what we can do as a company, and you know, putting ourselves out there into the world and into the industry. But we were, you know, mainly doing it to try and seek investment for the future. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's still a very big part of why we're doing this production. We, you know, ultimately we all work outside of this. It's not what we do full time, as much as we'd absolutely love to.
Of course.
You know, let's say the sort of mid to long term goal, in my eyes, I would say, you know, within 5 years' time, I'd like to be doing this full time, and you know, I'd like us to be doing big productions all the time and working with other companies and clients. But we can't do that without capital, which, you know, is very slim and very hard to come by. There are obviously avenues like Arts Council funding and, you know, other grants and things you can apply for, but they're not guaranteed. They're really hard to get and secure. So yeah, ultimately it started as, how can we showcase our skills? How can we attract investors and people that want to sponsor us, partner with us, work with us, and grow the company? And almost then from that, it's just got bigger and bigger, and we've gone, no, actually, let's do a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And yes, still focus on trying to showcase who we are, but equally, there's hundreds of people out there that we know want to see more from Death Cell and learn more. So
yeah,
let's give them that. That's how it sort of spiraled, I guess.
Yeah, but it seemed to spiral so naturally that, you mm-hmm. know, it's already, you know, causing a stir, especially in, you know, the Scare community, who have, you know, have known Death Cell since the start, obviously, with Our Space Productions. So yeah, it's only a winning formula to be able to say, like, this is who we are, but this is really who we are, and this is really how hard we can go. And you know, just even looking on your social media and your promotion, which I'm sure will only, you know, heat up hotter and hotter as the time goes on. It's always very on point. Is that something that you feel as well over these last few years, that you sort of know your target markets, you know what people want to see, you know what's engaging to work well with our space over on the socials?
Yeah, I think so, but equally we're still learning. Mm. And I think the trouble is, because the immersive space is growing and growing and growing, and it's becoming such a sought after industry, yes, that everyone, yes, kind of wants a piece of the pie. You know, there wasn't so much competition 5 years ago, whereas now there's immersive experiences popping up, yeah, left, right and center.
Yes.
And you know, I was actually at an event last week where we were talking about, you know, what actually is immersive, and how loosely are people using the word, and it's being thrown around a lot. But
yeah, yeah.
You know, we know that what we do is truly immersive, and we think about all those touch points. But when it comes to, you know, actually marketing it and learning who the audience and that is, like I say, we're still learning. Like, it's really hard to grow social channels, particularly, and especially when you're doing it mostly organically with not really a lot of paid budget behind,
yes,
it, 100%. It's really hard to get reach.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's all about tapping into the right channels and utilizing the right types of media. So,
yeah,
you know, Instagram Reels at the moment, that's where the algorithm's at. So, you would have noticed, particularly on our, on the Death Cell channel that we've launched, majority of the content will probably be reels and things, because that's what gets you reach, similar to the likes of TikTok.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, it's placing the content in front of people that want to see it, and almost the social channel itself is doing the work for you and working to their own algorithms. So it's so, you know, yeah, we're definitely still learning who our audience is, but in the simplest terms, though, we do know who we're trying to target, but it, you know, it's always a test and learn. Sometimes things don't land how you expect them to land,
yes,
and sometimes they fly, and you go, "Oh my god, I can't believe that one video's just got like 4,000 views, yeah, which maybe doesn't sound like a lot, but to us, we're absolutely like, oh, how have we just got 4,000 views on a video? That might not even be anything. So when we first, like when we first put the teaser out, we just released an image of the magenta skull, and it went crazy. Like the organic views on the real stuff were just flying, and so quickly, and we were like, oh god, people are literally reacting to nothing. Like, you don't know what this is. So I think in my eyes, that's a tick box, because it means, you know, we've obviously cracked a visual, we've cracked timing for when we're putting it out, and it's just ticking all those little boxes. And I think we're just trying to be a lot bolder and more creative with how we market things, and particularly how we market this experience. And you know, as you'll see, and as everyone will see, as we do get closer and closer, like, we've got a lot planned, and lots of really exciting stuff that will, you know, really sell the experience and get people excited. So but it is, you know, it's a hard game trying to market an experience like this.
I bet, definitely.
In a world where everyone is trying to market, you know, other experiences, but we just have to look at it from our unique angle and sort of go, well, you know, we know what we're doing,
this is how we stand out.
We're confident, we're confident in the look and feel that we've gone for, and yeah, I think it's already doing well for us, so
Definitely.
We're definitely excited to see where it goes. But yeah, it's a test and learn. You're always learning, and you know, seeing what works and what doesn't.
Just thinking as well, you're touching on the whole, you know, immersive theatre sort of tagline, that, you know, some people are jumping on it when me personally, as a theatre nerd, wouldn't class their attractions as immersive theatre, things like that. Obviously, like you say, it's way more popular now in 2024 than it was in 2018. Do you find that's like sort of a double-edged sword, and in the fact that more people are aware of this type of entertainment, so that's got to be a positive. But then there's also a handful of rogue traders in the business. You know, we all heard about that, you know, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory experience. But, you know, do you find that it's both a positive and a negative, in the fact that more people know about, you know, these kind of attractions, but also are some people more wary of them? Because, you know, some places you go to are absolutely outstanding. I've done some of the best experience of my life with immersive theatre, and then I've also been to some doozies, like similar to the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory thing. Is that similar to you guys? Are you finding it sort of like it's a catch 22 in that sort of point?
Yeah, I think a little bit. Like, my background is also like immersive interactive theatre, and I think the trajectory of like immersive, it sort of has gone like commercial really, really quickly. Like, whereas sort of when I think about theatre and think about it as an art form, immersive hasn't really like enjoyed that period of it being sort of like kind of a bit experimental, edgy, like arty. Or there just is enough of that. Like, immersive has been captured by like the commercial world as this buzzword.
It's trendy.
It's a trendy buzzword. Let's just slap it on the sign and because everybody's talking about it. And also, like, multiple like forms of media use it. Like, it's not just synonymous with theatre. Like, it's gaming, it's like the word immersive literally can.
True.
So we're up against like multimedia forces that are using this word without, and I think it's losing a bit of its like kind of roots, like its artistic merit. And so, especially when it's concerned to anything that I'm making or writing, it has to stand on its own as a sort of like artistic entity. And you know, I'm very inspired by like Punch Drunk and you know, companies like that who just go to extreme lengths to make like awe-inspiring like pieces of art first, and then like a commercial venture second. And there is, I employ that a lot in the work that we're doing for our space productions. It's good in terms of like eyes, like you said, like because people know about it, so you don't really have to do much legwork in terms of selling that the concept of immersive, but people are a lot more like wise now. I think audiences are a little bit more glued in to like if they're going to be duped, right? If they're going to be like, if this is like, ah, oh, this is like immersive scam or whatever, do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. People are more savvy, but then again, that it shows that obviously with your previous, you know, back catalogue of experience and productions, it sort of already speaks for itself, doesn't it, with our space? You know, people can see the reviews and see they've had a great time and that you put on a good show. So you've got the, you know, word of mouth is the best advertising tool there is, and you've already got that within your sort of target community as well, I guess.
Yeah, 100%. I think as well, the, you know, I think Christopher, you sort of nailed it in terms of immersive has become this, like, immersive experiences has become this whole like commercial operation. And because it is so trendy and obviously everyone's doing it, I think everyone's doing it because they see the potential. But I think then what happens is the actual experience gets a bit lost in translation along the way. And I think one thing that we can pride ourselves on is that we will always be, you know, explicit in what you're going to get for your money and for your time. And, you know, we want people to, but there's always going to be an element of the unknown. If you'll pardon the Willy Wonka pun.
nice one.
But, you know, I think that almost adds to the intrigue and the excitement, but I don't think at this moment in time, anyway, with how the market is and, you know, how many people are trying to do it, you can't be too cryptic at them anymore. You know, I think back to like when Secret Cinema used to be so cryptic about, you know, giving away any details about what you're getting yourself in for until you're there and experiencing it. But I just don't think you can do that anymore. Or again, particularly at the moment. So, like I say, we will always be front with what you're paying for, what the experience is. And, you know, that information is there and available for you to find. And we'll, you know, that's how we'll market it. And that's how we'll put things out on social. And we'll educate customers and let them know exactly what they're getting themselves in for. But at the same time, there are still elements of, you know, some surprises twists and turns that you're not expecting. Because, you know, no one wants to go into something knowing exactly what you're going to get, but you need to know at least, you need definitely a structure and you need a bit of a framework for what you know, what you're getting for your buck. And I think we will always do that. There are a lot of like hidden elements and bits to this experience that, you know, people won't know about until they get there. But, you know, I guess the other thing is, we're not actually telling people exactly, you know, the exact location that you're coming to. But what we have done is we've given you almost a radius. We've said, you know, this is the train station you need to come to. It's within a 10-minute walk of this station. So, you know, we're allowing people the benefit of all of the information you need up front to be able to make an informed decision if you can book, if you can make it to exactly where it is. But, you know, there's still that element of, I don't know exactly where I'm going when I get there, but you know, that information will come along the way, and that all then builds into immersing customers at all of those different touch points that we can, and being really creative with it. So,
and something like that is more it's with, like, so like you say, knowing the radius, knowing where you've got to meet at the train station, that for me, in my eyes, who enjoys your style of attractions, that's just building excitement rather than trepidation to book a ticket, if that makes sense. It's you know, there's nothing I love more than an unknown location, because that's scary in itself, isn't it? You know, you've already put them on edge that they don't quite know where they're going, but like you say, that they've got the enough information to make a decision to book a ticket or not.
Exactly. And we will always be upfront with those sorts of details, because it's important. And you almost have to put yourself in the customer's shoes in these situations. You have to imagine yourself, really take yourself out of the knowing all of the detail and then going, okay, actually, I don't, you have to always go, I don't know anything about this. can I find, you know, can I find information about what it is? Can I find information about where I've got to go? Where can I find that ticket price information? All of that. You have to think about all these things, and it's a real challenge to do, particularly when you're so invested in all of the back end details. But it's an important thing to do, and we always take time to do that as a team as well. And you know, we reach out to friends and family and get them to, you know, check over things or test things for us, and we then, you know, apply that sort of feedback as well, and that allows us to make sure that we're, you know, hitting the nail on the head as best we can.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm sure you guys will be hitting the nail on the head when it comes to Magenta. So let's bring it back to, you know, your next big attraction, Death Cell Magenta. I know we know it's an origin story, you know, following Magenta, who was sort of hinted to sort of be there in a small way in the original production. I know you don't want to give too much away, if, for example, I've literally just clicked on this podcast now thinking, what is Death Cell and what is Death Cell Magenta? What's the best sort of way that you would describe it to someone who's potentially on your website now looking to book a ticket?
So, Death Cell Magenta it's the origin piece to Death Cell. And Death Cell is this, like, depraved sort of prison system where, like, it operates on a logic where anybody can, like, nominate anybody to be sent there for, like, anything. So there's no, like, rhyme or reason. There's no, like, laws connected to it. Like, if you're sentenced to Death Cell, it's probably because you pissed somebody off, or, like, you didn't, you know, somebody didn't quite like what you did that day. Nominates you, and then you are whisked away to this, like, depraved facility known as Death Cell, which is overseen by the warden, who is called Ryan. And Death Cell Magenta witnesses the meeting between Ryan, who is the warden, sort of overseer of Death Cell, and Magenta, and how Magenta then becomes associated with the world of Death Cell and her role and place within its mechanics, shall we say. Mm-hmm. And because it's Death Cell Magenta, really focusing on this character Magenta, it's a character study attraction, really trying to create this, like, modern iconic female horror icon who's, like, ridiculously smart, cunning, creative, but a twisted tinkerer who has an extremely sort of dark past. And how she interacts with somebody like Ryan, who is also sort of kind of equally depraved, and how these different forms of depravity try to coexist within this crazed world of Death Cell. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that and much more.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, you can't tell us the much more bit. So yeah, I mean, and it's a mixture of, it's like a horror experience, but also a 60-minute escape game as well, isn't it? So if people haven't done an escape game before, obviously they're listening to Scare Track. I'm guessing they do, but you'd be surprised on the sort of, I feel, lots of people who have done lots of scare attractions haven't necessarily done many escape rooms, or vice versa. And then there's it's like a Venn diagram. You get those lot in the middle that love to do both. I'm terrible at escape games. Me and Hannah, we've done over 500 horror mazes. When it comes to escape rooms, it usually ends into an argument. So how have you found sort of merging the, you know, it's not just a horror experience, it's not just immersive theatre, it's also, you know, an escape experience as well. How did you find, woving all those into one big concoction?
Well, as a company, we're so interested in creating, like, hybridised experiences. So ours is, like, you know, part immersive horror experience, part escape experience, and there's also a cinema element to the production as well. Which we were just very interested in exploring and seeing how that all sort of links together. What's interesting is Magenta's, like, kind of MO, how she operates, is she like creates these like MAME rooms that use like weaponized escape room logic. So we're very much, we know like the kind of mechanics and designs that go into an escape room, and we've come at it, how can we like twist that on its head and almost like make that part of the character of Magenta. And so, yeah, like trying to fuse all of these together is not only like a big showpiece, a big showcase of what we can do as our space productions, but it's also like we're very much interested in like multiple spaces. Like we all love, as a company, we're all big like horror film buffs. We all love like horror escape rooms. We love horror mazes. And it's like, instead of like compromising, like, and this is a company built on like basically making our passions come to life.
Yeah.
That's why we can operate and we feel quite comfortable trying to create this experience that fuses basically all of our interests into one. Yeah, and then slapping the sort of narrative on top and the world building, you know, on top of that foundation of love, will hopefully create something utterly terrifying.
yeah, it sounds it. You know, looking at the promo and listening to you guys, it sounds like it will be. It's going to be a hell of a lot of fun, but bloody terrifying at the same time.
I think it's worth noting as well that, although you know, the escape game element, the puzzle element, obviously that's a huge part of the experience, but I would say don't expect to, you know, be coming in a 60-minute timer goes on and you're just going to solve puzzles for an hour, because it's honestly so much more than that. And I think, as Christopher puts it, like the way we've combined these different elements to create a well-rounded experience is really exciting. And quite frankly, I mean, I've never experienced anything like what it will be, and I've never seen anyone else doing what it's going to be. So I say that quite loosely, but you know, I think it's that combination of the storytelling and the immersing you into the world, alongside the intensity of, you know, trying to solve puzzles to get out of rooms or, you know, escape. And alongside that is the whole, you know, theatrically cinematic element of how do we blend, you know, elements of film and cinema into the experience. And that almost plays through, again, quite loosely at the moment while we're still teasing things out. But the whole idea of, you know, encouraging people to, well, not encourage people, but telling people that, you know, it's time to hit rewind, and we're asking them if they're then ready to push play once we've hit rewind. You know, those sort of small bits of language. So we're playing on the element of the cinema side of things and the film. So you know, there'll obviously be a lot more that you'll learn as the months go on leading up to the experience and how that all ties together. But yeah, it's a really clever sort of weave of elements.
Yeah, 100%. I'm just looking at your Instagram now, and firstly, I'm loving the hot pink. But yeah, I'm seeing this now. It's time to rewind. It's exciting because, like you say, it's, you want people to not only think about it the night before, you know, they go in and go, oh, I need to get up for Death Cells tomorrow. That you want them thinking about it now. You know, once they've bought a ticket, it's sort of like, right, get ready for this new world.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. And that whole process, that whole journey, like, begins as soon as they, you know, book that ticket. It's like from the moment you book your ticket, you know, it's almost like that's when the experience begins, right? And it's very much like that journey up until you are there in the live pop-up itself. That journey is just as important, and I think is a true testament to sort of immersive design. And then even after you've finished it, sort of that thinking about that aftercare and thinking about that, what does that look like after you finish? Because it's not just like it's done and you just like, you don't think about it anymore. Like we want it to linger with you. We want it to be like, you know, you thinking about it long after you've experienced it, or in be enticed enough to come back and do it again, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Or at least sort of remember the name R Space Productions, look out for the next thing that you're doing, whether it be a different incarnation of Death Cell or something completely different. You know, it's once you've made your mark on people, they know that they're in for a good, you know, a good time, a good hour, but also a longer experience on the build up and the aftercare as well. You know, you only set onto a winner, really, aren't
absolutely
you?
Yeah. It's a very, very important to our values.
I think one of our big aims as a company generally is we want to, you know, continue building community and, you know, creating relationships between people that have like-minded interests. And, you know, I would say what we do is in one way quite a niche market, but in another way, there's so much potential for that market to grow because, you know, people get a wind of it and then go, actually, that's really exciting. And then they, you know, learn more, do more experiences and get more involved. So I think that idea of community is our sort of aim, and you know, it resonates not only with what we're doing in this experience but with everything that we're doing as a company, and just linking back to like the workshops we did last year, like the idea was, you know, we wanted people to come in that wanted to learn something new but equally make friends, meet new people, and then they'll go away having had a positive experience and then coming back talking about it with other friends, getting more people involved. And I think that's particularly with the arts in general, I think that's almost the way it is going and should be going, because
it's organic growth, isn't it, really?
Exactly. And I think there's a lot of potential in just building a community and a network of people that love this stuff and want to keep coming back. So as long as we can make leave people with a smile on their face and saying, that was fantastic, we love what you're doing, we can't wait to see what you do next, then, you know, we know we've done our job and we're on the right track. So that's ultimately what Christopher's saying with, you know, we don't want you to just leave and go, that was cool, and then forget about it. Particularly with this experience and with Death Cell Magenta, we want you to, you know, leave and almost think that that's the end. And who knows, like there could be more along the way to just remind you that, you know, like we've said, once you've booked that ticket, we're immersing you into the world, but we haven't exactly told you when that's going to stop or if it's going to stop. So, you know,
nice.
That's almost what we're going for. That idea that, you know, after the experience, our space production just kick down your door at any moment and just, you know, you're in another one. You didn't even realize it, sort of thing, you know.
It actually never ended.
Yeah, never.
No, I like it. It's exciting. You know, it's definitely intriguing. You know, I'm just excited to see more stuff come out on your socials on the build up to the event as well, and then to, you know, the event happening as well this summer. I'm really looking forward to just seeing how it all goes out for you guys. So Death Cell Magenta, it's going to be running this summer from Friday the 23rd till Saturday the 31st of August, and it, like we said earlier, it's at a secret location in Hackney Wick, London, so people know the general location as such. But how can people get tickets, how much are tickets, and how can people keep up to date with everything Death Cell and R Space Productions?
Tickets, they're on sale now. We've got early bird tickets currently. They start from £32 per person, and you can book them online at deathcell.co.uk. The time slots are, you know, from 11 a.m. through to about 9 p.m. in the evening, so there's lots of opportunity. We also have some VIP packages on sale as well. They start from £62 per person. With that, you know, you get a nice merch bundle, you're going to get a show program. You'll get an exclusive signed poster from the cast, and you'll also get a really cool, unique and exclusive photo opportunity actually inside the experience. So if that's up your street, then, you know, we've got options for that too. If you want to, you know, stay up to date, which we would definitely encourage you to do because there's lots of exciting announcements of it still to come, you can either join our mailing list, so that we, you know, be kept up to date with emails. You can do that again on our website, or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, just simply using at Death Cell UK. You can find us, yeah, on all of those channels. So, yeah.
Amazing. Fantastic. Awesome. Well, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, Liam and Christopher, firstly, a huge, huge thank you for coming onto the podcast. Really, really do appreciate it. And hopefully we'll see you at ScareCon is the next big thing
yes.
for everyone here in the Scare community. So hopefully we'll see you guys and the team there. But other than that, it's ready for August. So a huge, huge thank you for coming on to Scare Track, and we'll chat to you again soon.
No worries. Thanks
very
much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Unlocked Vision, proud sponsors of the Scare Track podcast. UVE are a multi-award-winning themed attraction and design company, providing bespoke themed attractions, theming, events, and experiences. Contact UVE today by visiting unlockedvision.com. Now, let's return back to the show. And remember, let's get scared.
So there we go. First up, a huge thank you to Liam and Christopher for coming on to the Scare Track podcast. Really do appreciate it. Really exciting to learn more about Death Cell Magenta as well. So tickets are on sale. Remember, grab them now before they sell out. I'm excited to get down there to check it out, and hopefully we'll see you guys down there too. And that what's brings me on to my next point, actually, the community that we've created within the Scare world. Last Halloween was actually our most successful Halloween here on Scare Track. So a huge thank you to all you listeners out there, you watchers on YouTube, everyone that interacts with us over on our social media pages, and even the you guys that have bought merch as well. Honestly, we really, really do appreciate it. Like we say, we have had a quiet little close season, but we are now back ready for 2024. So make sure you join us for the ride. We're going to have more Scare Track episodes on the podcast. We're going to be having more Scare Cams, some more Coaster Track episodes as well. We're actually going to France to Park Asterix next month, so there'll be a Coaster Track episode over on our YouTube channel. So make sure you're joining us. We are on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, and Facebook. Just search for Scare Track. Of course, you can get everything over on our website, scaretrack.co.uk, and we're on YouTube as well for all our video content. So that's /ScareTrack. But yeah, a huge thank you for joining us over that last Halloween period. It feels like a little while ago now, purely because we are now on the countdown to this year. But it was awesome seeing so many of you out supporting the attractions, making 2023 just the most exciting year yet for scares. So many around the country, more popping up even this year as well. So we're excited to get to some of our old favourites this season, but also some brand new attractions too. So that brings us to the end of this episode. A huge thank you for listening, and let's get scared.